Hello, everyone. This is Embodying Happiness and Prosperity Radio Show with Marilyn O'Malley. And I'm so happy that you're with me today. I just want to let you know if you're going through the web, there is a chat section where you can type in any questions that you have. Right now I have it on lecture mode, so if you have any questions, you can hit star 2 to raise your hand and ask your questions. Questions are good. I will be having questions and answers after. If you have questions during, go ahead and when there's a space, I'll have you ask your question, but definitely afterwards, and there'll be laser coaching. If you have any particular questions or issues that you're dealing with, I will be happy to help you. And don't think that your question isn't good enough to ask, because really the questions are the things that help us grow. And this is what this whole show is about. So I am here to help you be a more you and help you find the authentic you. Well, let me just, this is what I do. I am a transformational expert guiding highly sensitive and creative entrepreneurs and professionals to transform their limiting mindset, liberate their true self, purpose, and passion, and manifest the happy, prosperous, and juicy life they were meant to live. So that is what I am wanting for everybody. And that is what you are wanting for yourself if you find yourself attracted to this call and my teachings and coaching. So welcome, welcome. So today, I'm very excited. What we're going to cover is about feeling safe and how safe do you feel, and how safe do you feel around people? How safe do you feel about the world? And so we're looking at right now, this is like mindset. What is your mindset? What are your beliefs around people, your safety, your personal safety, how you feel, one-to-one, how you feel in a group, how you feel, do you feel safe to be seen and heard? Do you feel safe in the world to begin with? And all of this is like instinctual, primal survival. And it's one of the first areas that coming in as a baby, which we're striving for survival. So we do what we have to do to survive. And all of that influences the rest of our life. So this is a very impressionable time at a young age that sort of sets the framework for how you're going to experience your world. And so I want to share that one of the tools that I use the chakra system, and mainly the first seven chakras, to as a roadmap to help explain and energetically what's going on and how vows, there are vows that are related to each of the seven chakras. And the chakras are energy centers that receive energy and transmute it, and it's like your essence, some way, and express it back out into the world. It is how you experience more and more of what is here around you in your environment. The chakra is processing the energy field and giving you feedback all the time, 24 hours a day. So there, and this is scientifically proven. There's, you know, they can photograph the chakras, that they see the chakras as this ancient wisdom. And now that we're knowing more about energy and quantum physics, we understand how the body is relating and communicating all the time with that quantum field or source or God or whatever you want to call it. So there's always a conversation going on, and you're always relating with the world around you. And the chakras are magnetic, whether they're opened or closed. They magnetize you to everything you are dealing with right now in your life. Take that in. And where I'm going to spend most of the time today is in the first chakra. And this is the root, called the root chakra. And this is where deals with safety and security and loyalty to your family. And so I'm going to share with you today how feeling safe and secure and your loyalty to your family is influencing and has been since you've been a child, unless you've addressed it. All the choices, all the way that you see the world, the choices you make, the actions you take or don't take, and how these got created. Because I also want to share this, because this is a place where a lot of people feel shame or guilt, where you're not feeling good enough, you don't feel strong enough. You should be able to handle this. Why don't I feel safe? Why am I not? Why can't I do what you see somebody else doing? And you could be panicked by it. So, again, first, the first chakra, the root chakra, has to do with instinct and survival. And you're dependent on other people, and you're dependent on the planet. You know, it's like the collective. And you're looking towards your family. So this is loyalty. This is like, I have to be loyal to my family in order to survive. And it isn't always loyalty. It could be rebellion. But I'm going to more address loyalty today, because this is, it just goes along with what we're talking about right now. And loyalty to the family, to the tribe, could be also to culture, to your culture, to your religion, so that's it, you know, whatever you have to do in order to feel safe to survive. So first, chakras are, here are some of the vows that we take. And what a vow is a vow is a deeply, deep statement, belief, that this is the way things are. This is how I'm going to show up. This is what I'm going to do. And it just think of it as having a big root. It's not just a little, like, it's not a belief that can be easily changed. And most of the time with these vows, this is when we're growing up. These are formed while we're very impressionable, between, you know, from birth to anywhere between 7 and 9 years old, before we have a consciousness and before we're saying, oh yeah, that's right, that's wrong. During that time, we're like a sponge, and we're just taking in all the things around us, and we're learning our way through our family, through their reactions, through our environment's reactions, through our training in school, through the media, religion, community, you know, how to be. And this is where we get a lot of, this is what I believe. This is what our family, like, you don't even really think about these things. This is, you know, a lot of people are vote the same way that their family voted, whether Republican or Democrat or whatever you are in other countries, you know, tend to think along the same lines. That worked for my family, so that will work for me. I vow always to support my tribe, so doing whatever you have to do to support your family. I vow to live the laws of my tribe, so what are the rules? You know, do you work hard? I'm going to keep this around safety. So it's like, so if your family didn't believe that the world was a safe place, then they're giving you that information. Like, this is not a safe place. This is what you need to do. You're not safe being a woman. This is what you have to do. You're not safe being different than everybody else. You're not going to be safe unless you put the family first. You know, we will take care of you as long as you take care of us. Our family customs come first. Let's see. This is also where there's like, so there's, this is where it is, comes up in that it's not safe to be seen and heard. So this is where it could be that you're in an abusive family. So maybe there's alcohol or drugs, or there's, you know, the parents are mentally unstable. And so you discovered as a little child that it is, as long as you sort of blended in and didn't stand out, then you wouldn't get verbally abused or physically abused. So you just made it not safe to be seen and heard. You might be also that, you know, you might be very dynamic and very expressive, and, you know, you like to show off, or you're a natural actor, you know, or a comedian, or, you know, you liked entertaining people, but your family thought you were full of yourself. So this might be like, so you can't be better than any of us. You can't stand out beyond anybody in the family. This is also where a lot of times you can't make more, it's not safe for you to make more money than anybody in your family, than your parents made. Because, again, it's going against supporting the family and staying within the family rules. You know, I vow to be loyal, to lie, to deny me to be safe. I will, you know, I vow to never care about or want money because our parents cared too much about it. Let's see if there's any more. I might just stop there on the vows. You know, this is where it's not okay to be, for a highly sensitive. This is like where we're very shy or very emotional about things. This is like, it's not safe to be me and be so moved by the world around me. And so, you know, I cry at happy and sad commercials, and I remember sitting and my family making fun of me, you know, and it just felt troubling to have them, like, why do I cry? Why am I so moved by this? And they're not. And so a lot of times I felt like I wasn't strong enough. And this is where the shame and stuff comes up, is like, because we're not like everybody else in our family, then it doesn't feel safe to be that way. And so we try to conform and do that. And so when it doesn't feel safe for you, so let's just start with like a person too, then it's like if you don't feel safe around people, so if you grew up in an abusive home or you just there was a place where you couldn't really be you, and most of us have that. So we deny who we really are, and we start molding ourselves into the way that we think our mother or our father or our brothers or our sisters or the church or our peers at school want us to show up. But the thing is, what happens is that because we don't feel safe that way, we like don't really trust anybody. And we're constantly on this high alert. And this is running in the background, again, because that vow to, you know, you're gonna not be you in order to be safe. And you're not going to be, you might not stand out and be seen and heard because you that feels too vulnerable and you can be attacked. And so you are going to start making choices then that are going to hold you back, not let you be yourself fully, and you won't feel free. So you're not really going to trust other people then, and you're constantly looking outside of yourself towards these other people and seeing, can I trust them, can I not? How do they want me to be? How do they want me to show up? How do I have to show up in order to fit in or get them to like me or love me, et cetera? That's how it starts playing out later in life. And then we keep doing that as adults. And we don't even know that we're doing it as an adult because we think it's us. We think there's something wrong with us because we don't feel comfortable in our skin. We don't feel safe with other people, totally safe to be ourselves. We don't necessarily feel safe in the world because depending on, and at that level, is, you know, there's a broad spectrum as far as feeling safe in the world. But depending on how your family's beliefs, so everybody can take a look at that. So I want you to just take a moment here and close your eyes and think back to when you were a little kid, the earliest time that you can think of, and see yourself with your family. And the peers, and or who, you know, whoever would be around that's most impressionable, and just notice, be the observer, and for the, I think most people on this, if you're highly sensitive and creative, you'll have a visual or you'll have a knowing sense of it. You might hear things, feel, so whatever way it shows up for you, like if you're not seeing a picture, that's fine, but if you have a sense of a memory pop up, stay with those and observe and watch yourself and see what memories, what experiences are playing out in front of you, reminding you like, oh yeah, I don't feel safe, but you know, it wasn't safe for me to do this, or I remember when somebody new would come like particularly a man to date my mother because my parents were divorced, if I didn't like him, his energy, I would go hide. I would go hide in the corner. I didn't want to be around him. I didn't want to. I'm highly sensitive and intuitive, and it was just like, ugh. But I didn't know why I was doing that. And, you know, my mom's like, well, honey. I was just like, I don't know. It doesn't feel good. I don't want to be out there. But and then there's something wrong with me. So just look and sort of feel back, and you might make some notes in a journal, and you might start thinking, when I grew up, what was the world safe to me? Were people safe to me? You know, and if you were abused at any time, you know, then really if you might not trust, you're always looking for ways that you could be abused again. So so nobody is safe. Everybody's a predator. So you're moving through your life actually with this sense and this radar of everybody's a predator. And So not really trusting them. And so I want to show you how your experiences, I want you to start to get a feel like you've been making choices from this place about your life, even as an adult. Like this has just come in, it runs in the background as to what is safe for you or not. And so I'll give you a couple examples, and you can still be thinking for you and making notes. And this might trigger some stuff, but like I remember as my parents got divorced when I was 4 years old, and I remember I was having a really good time, and I was sitting on this table, and there was party lines at that time, and I was listening in on a party line and watching I Love Lucy, and my dad came home, and he was late, and my parents got in a fight, and I remember the fight was there, and I know it had to do with the kids, but at the time, I didn't know, because my mom had to go to work, and my dad was coming home from work, and he's supposed to watch us so she could go, and I think he had probably stopped and had a beer, and they're like 20 years old, right? And anyway, big fight at the door, and my father leaves, and then I don't see him again until like I'm 13, and nobody explains what's going on. In my head, I'm thinking I was a bad girl for having a good time, so it's not safe for me to have a fun time. And then shortly after that, my grandmother said to me, you better be a good girl. I'm the oldest of three. You better be a good girl or your mom, you know, might have to leave you. And I'm like, wah. You know, so now it is not safe for me to have a good time. And I'm going to become very responsible, and I'm going to take care of my mom, and I'm not going to make any trouble so we don't lose our mom. See how that happens? Like, so, and this is a four-year-old's mind, you know, creating this vow, you know, okay, I will not be me, I'll do whatever it has to do to keep my mom and feel safe. You know, not that I'm thinking those exact words, but that's like my instinct is survival. So you got to take care of the top person that's going to take care of you, right? And so... so anyway, that plays out in my life, and then it's also not safe to argue. It's not safe to have arguments because then people are going to walk out of your life and not come back. And so for the longest time, you know, I'm making decisions to not argue, not create conflict. I am, you know, twisting myself in every direction to fit into whatever, you know, as long as it felt somewhat healthy to me, not abusive, I was stuffing who I was, and you're doing the same thing, you know, not with the same safety issues that I brought up, but there's parts of you that are living out that were created when you were a child. That's my whole point. And they are keeping you from fully being you, from you living your passions and your purpose and enjoying your life and being happy and expressing yourself and allowing yourself to come out and be seen and heard in the world. And it's from these paths. When you were very young, these vows about survival and safety that you made that is creating the world that you're in now. And until you change that mindset, that's going to keep driving you forward. And I want to share also, so as the chakras, that's the first chakra, that safety and security, all of that moves up into the rest of the other chakras. As to it influences it. So like the second chakra is all about your feelings, your senses, your emotions, how you are experiencing the world and your relationship in it. This is where you let the world in and feel how it flows in and through you. So can you imagine in that chakra now? So if you feel it is not safe to be you, and it is not safe to, and the world's not necessarily safe, and you can't trust other people, and maybe that even moves and you can't trust you, that then that influences how you are experiencing your relationship with the world. So are you allowing yourself to feel your feelings, your true feelings? Or are you only allowing yourself to feel what you think is okay to feel or safe to feel? Do you allow yourself to feel other people's feelings but not your own? You know, and a lot of us are highly sensitive and creative because we are so feeling and so, empathetic and intuitive, and, you know, we're picking up on other people's feelings all the time and mixing it in with our own. So can you see how then your whole identity with how you relate to the world, and this is your power center. This is where it's set. This has to do with sex and money and you, how you show up in the world, you feeling powerful. So if you started off not feeling safe to be you, how can you be standing in your power in the world? This is why we need to shift this, so that you can really start owning that power of who you are. Then it moves up to the third chakra, which is your identity. This is your strength of character, your ego, your individuality, your uniqueness, what you're here to do in the world, what you're here to be, what you're here to create. And again, if it's not safe to be, not safe to be you, and the world's not safe, and you can't trust people, then you're experienced, you're not allowing yourself to feel what you really want to create, what you really want to express in the world, your passions and your purpose, then you can't, and stand in your, and it's not safe to stand in your power and be seen and express that out in the world, then you won't be identifying with yourself. That's where you feel funky, because you're not really being you. It's like, this is where a lot of depression comes in, because you're stepping yourself down and you're trying to live what you think other people want you to live, and you're have this constant, because of this issue of safety, there's this constant fight or flight or freeze part of your brain. That ego is constantly working in the background. And that's one of the things I'm going to ask you later to look at and to watch. There's this constant underground, unconscious energy that is constantly looking to, you know, it's like being a good Girl Scout or Boy Scout. You know, you're prepared. And it's like your ego and everything is saying, okay, are we prepared? We won't be humiliated doing this, and what do we have to put in place for this? And, oh, my God, set this up. And then it's all in the future, right? It's all like preparing how to get this, how is she going to do this, or how is he going to do this, and what needs to be put in place. And, oh, my God, we don't know enough, so we need to go read that next book. We need to a new wardrobe, or, you know, we can't do it until it's perfect. And then you're also looking behind you at, like, oh, how did we do that? How stupid was that? Oh, my God, you know, just critical. Okay, how can we make it better then? So we're going from this critical, disappointed in ourselves, judgment about the world and other people and ourselves, and then moving forward. And it's like, and then, so how do we make it better? And how do we better ourselves? And how are people wanting to see us? And what do we got to do to get there? Isn't it exhausting? Oh, my gosh. When I saw this in myself, and I see this in others, and they see it in themselves, it's like, oh, my God. No wonder people are overwhelmed. No wonder the cortisone levels are shooting through the roof. No wonder that there's anxiety and fear. Is all of this, you know, has started from when we were a little kid and denying who we are and avoiding feeling it, because then we're going to think, you know, then we're going to have the shame, right? Shame loves to hide. It doesn't want to be seen. So we're so ashamed of how we're showing up, and we don't feel good about ourselves. But we don't understand it's not us. This is not you. That's what I really want you to get. This is not you. These are thoughts and feelings and beliefs from other people that you've taken on as your own. They are things that you've done for survival. But you are not your thoughts and your feelings. You're the observer of them. You're the one that's watching everything and doing what your ego says. You know, and I really want you to have a sense of humor about this. And then there is also a mourning, like, oh my gosh, look at how much time I've wasted not being me. But it's also been the time is now. The time is now. And there are ways to deal with this and change this and change these mindsets and change how you feel about yourself and transform your life so that you are doing the work that you're uniquely here to do and be and create the life that is juicy and expresses you and that creative self and that intuitive and person that you are that juiciness can come up, and it's by letting go and becoming aware of these beliefs, these mindsets, this programming that you've gotten from your culture, from your family, from your school, from your religion, whatever, that is not you. You know, there's some good things you got that just fit, you know, that are great. But then there's this other stuff that is not you. And this is where I'll say the rebel. You might have come into and said, I am not going to be like them. I am going to rebel, and I'm going to be kept, you know, different. And here's the thing. You know what? The rebellion is resistance. It's not making choices about who you're going to be. It's just, I'm not going to be them. And so whatever we put our attention on, we attract. So I'm not going to be them. The mind doesn't know the nots or the negatives. It just knows I'm going to be them. You will end up coming around and being that. By resisting it, it persists. So, I just want to give couple other examples, quick examples, and then I'm going to go into some tools that you can have that there are ways to work with this. So the other day I was hiking, and so think in your life, like where is this playing out along with me as I'm sharing this story? I'm sharing stories because it might trigger some memories for you. So I was hiking. I went into our backcountry here in Santa Barbara, and I was hiking along, and I'm all alone. I'm in the backcountry. I'm not seeing anybody, and then I sort of see this guy, and he ends up sort of sliding down this hill and peeing, and I'm like, I didn't really feel safe. But I checked in with my intuition, and I'm like, I'm safe. And my partner had gone off, and he was riding his bicycle. Yes, and and then we're going to meet up after, and so I'm going to hike for like an hour in and then an hour out. And so I'm hiking along, and I all of a sudden all this anxiety was coming up, and I'm like, wow, you know, what is this, and why am I feeling so unsafe, and why do I feel unsafe back in, you know, when I'm alone, you know, that's the biggest thing, or when I'm in some place that I don't know. And so about halfway through the hike, I got like, I remember when I was, I think in second grade and walking to school, and I lived in Coronado, San Diego, which is a beautiful little town back then. And, you know, kids could easily walk to school. And I remember walking to school, and one day a man came out And I didn't even know until came out, flipped my skirt up, and then said, like, you know, had whatever color underpants. I was like, oh, you're wearing pink underpants, and then ran back to the house. And I didn't, you know, it was like, ah, and you know, I was like shocked, and all of a sudden didn't feel safe. And then around the same time, it was either second or third grade, I was babysitting across, right across, we lived in an apartment, and directly across, you know, it's like 20 feet, was another apartment. I was babysitting for them, and my mom was home, and the dad came home early, and he wanted to play hide and seek with something down his pants. And, you know, I, again, knowing everything in me is going, not good, not good, not good, but didn't know what to do. I'm like, hey, Mom, come get me, you know, and but I'm a good girl, you know, I follow what adults say, but somehow I knew to just sort of like, oh, it's down at your feet, oh, it's a, you know, and then like probably, I don't know, 5-10 minutes of this, I knew enough to not go near his genitals, and the wife came home, and I was like, oh, my God, you know, and I didn't share that with anybody. I felt like, I didn't share that with my mother, and all of this came up was like this fear around, you know, I could be taken advantage of when I'm alone and not feel, you know, strong, so that's just another thing to see, like, how are those things playing out, you know, here I am, an adult, very, you know, I feel powerful. I'm a strong woman. And yet this is still playing out. These things are coming up and playing out about how I don't feel safe. And then another thing about client I want to share around money and relationships, because this is really a big thing for a lot of people, is so I have a client that she discovered it isn't safe for her to be in her full power, making the lots of money, being prosperous, and be in a relationship at the same time, because she saw her family was that when her mother was in her power and making lots of money, relationships didn't last. And so relationships are really important to her, so it's not safe to make money while she's in a relationship. So I just said that's just another way that this can show up. So just take a minute and jot down any notes or think about, you know, wow, where are the places that you're struggling in your life? You know, financial, relationships, health. I know people that can have lots of money and make more money than their tribe, their family mates. But then they're sacrificing like their health. We do these little things that sabotage ourselves to even things out, to make it like, well, I can have money, but I won't. You know, and again, you're not saying this consciously. You don't even know most of this is running in the background. But look at where you're struggling, and then look at what you're afraid of. Where does it not feel safe to you? That's your core issues, like I said, because that's the underlining. And so when we have issues, it's going to the core, the root of the problem. When we can change that root about you feeling safe in the world and feeling safe and trusting yourself to make decisions and trusting, knowing, having the instinct, you know, and knowledge. It's not for you to go out and trust everything. And there are times when you are not safe, but on the whole, most of the time, you're safe. And to calm down that part of you that is running overtime 24/7 about having to keep you safe, and or else you go and fight, flight, or freeze. So go and discover those parts and understand that you can change those. So how do we change them? And I'm going to go through a list, and then if there's anybody that's on the call that wants to ask questions or get some coaching around this, because that really helps, like bring your story into it. So tools to help you is being in the now. Get present. Don't be in the future or the past. That's where the anxiety and the fear and that unsafety come in. Just get yourself, you know, one way to do that is to start naming the things around you. Name the colors that they are. Feel your heartbeat in your body. So staying as present as you can. And when you, you know, when you aren't feeling fit to go, okay, the other thing is that you can talk some logic. Am I safe right now? Yes, I've got a roof over my head. There's food in the refrigerator. Nobody's threatening me at this time. You know, all of this stuff. And then you can, okay. So then you know I'm reacting to past experiences. And I want to let you know, remind you that your ego only knows the past. Your ego does not know infinite possibilities. It's only reacting off of what has happened in the past. And your thing is to be like, the past does not determine your future. The past does not determine where you can be in the next moment. You do. And that's why being in the present moment and you deciding, what do I want to believe now? I am safe. I am powerful. I am the one driving my life. What do I choose? What do I choose to believe about myself? I can be me. I can be seen and heard. I'm here for a mission. I am unique. I am lovable. I am worthy. I am enough. And you know what? That's what, thanks, though. I am enough. When you were born, you came in as a perfect spirit and a perfect human being. And the perfect, I mean, is like you are worthy. Everything is there. There is nothing you have to do to be worthy. Now, all your training and everything, all the programming comes in and works on the human side of you, but your spiritual side is always perfect. It's always wanting to be expressed in the world. It's you know, waiting for you to let it blossom. But it's the human programming that gets in the way. So there is nothing wrong with you. It's just that programming, other people's opinions, other people's beliefs, other people's values, you know, it's like, in the now, you can be, what do I believe now? What's important now? What matters now? What wants to be expressed out of me now? Okay, the other thing is breathing. Oh, my gosh, breathing is so good. So breathing can calm you down. And what the oxytocin breath I've taught, I actually have a video on that. So you can go search that. Marilyn O'Malley on YouTube and the oxytocin breath, but that's basically taking a breath, allowing a breath to come in, not forcing it, and allowing it to go to your belly, and then you just really, it's an A-H, like 9 H's after it. And it, what it does is it just calms down that fight or flight, and it brings up that oxytocin hormone. Do that about 3 times. Just, and you say it with pleasure. And it's vibrating the vagus nerve, and it's setting off oxytocin, so it starts to make you feel good. It calms everything down. Also, belly breathing, just get, again, allowing yourself to breathe and feel what you're feeling. So allow yourself to be in your body and allow the process of feeling what you're feeling. So if you're not feeling safe, like allow yourself to feel unsafe and let it move through your body rather than resisting it. And then you can, you know, you can experience it and know that it's like you processed it, so you're not carrying all these emotions and tensions and something you're resisting in the background and that your ego's paying attention to and that you sort of is a distraction from you being in the now. You can do EFT tapping. So tapping through how you're feeling, and eventually then moving into how you want to feel. Yawning brings us into consciousness. Then all this research on yawning, it's not about you being tired. It's actually you're waking up the brain, and you're bringing yourself into a more conscious state. And then mindset reframe. So instead of saying I'm unsafe, saying I'm safe. I'm supported. It's good to be me. You know, there's a whole, actually, if you have not signed up for my newsletter, if you go to MarilynO'Malley.com, MarilynOmalley.com, and you sign up, when you opt in for the newsletter, and then I also send you the information on the replays for this call, and I'll send you information about the next call. You also get 25 prosperity mindsets on that call. After you sign up, you can take one of those mindsets and just start working one mindset a week to start or a month, depending on where you are with it, and start embodying that. And that will help to shift. So it's reframing how you're seeing your world. It's reframing it in a way that you choose, not how you've been taught or programmed to do that. I talked about the logic, you know, really talking to yourself and observing your thoughts and seeing what's playing out, and then logically explaining to yourself how you are safe and nothing is happening right now, and calming yourself down that way. And then another way that I work is is doing some inner child work. So we take that child that has been programmed, your inner child, and you start working with that inner child as the adult. So now you're working together, because for most of us, until we do the work, the inner child is actually the one running the show. Even though, like, you know, we're like, I'm an adult, I get this, but this is how things show up, right? But like, it's like you get the logic, but you haven't embodied it. And so you keep doing these same things over and over again, or feeling the fear. Well, that's because that's your inner child, that little girl who's afraid, who's like, damn, we are not doing anything that makes me feel fearful. We are not going there, no matter what. That's what a lot of people owe, and particularly women, about getting up and speaking out and being vulnerable and sharing who they really are. It's so terrifying. I was one of those. I was the shyest little girl. I was super sensitive to all the things around me. And even just in little groups of people that I knew, I would burst out in tears crying when I would say something that meant a lot to me. You know, that was, when I was doing that, it was like a teapot, you know, steaming. And, you know, so I have done this work. I have done this work. I would not be able to be speaking to you on this radio show, and I would not, get up in front of people and talk. So anyway, I know I have been the person scared to death, that little girl scared to death, so I've taken care of her and done the process, and she knows we work together, and she's grown up, and she's more confident, and stands in our power now, and we work out the things together. And so those are a few ways, tools that you can use. And so now I'm going to see if anybody has any questions. So if you have any questions, so you can write on the chat. Or you can hit star 2 and raise your hand. Trying to think if I want to take you through. Let me check in. You know what? So there's no hands going up. I think, and I don't see anybody on chat. What I think I'm going to do is I'm going to do a little inner child work. So I want you to close your eyes, not if you're driving. And I want you to relax. Just take a couple breaths. Feel your heartbeat. Like feel the air on your skin. Just allow your mind to calm down. Just allow yourself to feel what you're feeling in your body right now. Relax your forehead, your neck, your shoulders. Just relax your chest. Feel your heart opening. Let your abdomen relax and your low back. Your hips, your legs, all the way down to the tips of your toes. If you can't imagine energy just running all the way through you, source energy from about 3 feet above your head, just coming straight down into your head, running throughout your whole body, your whole energetic system. It's just going to do like a clearing. It's just going to clear away any energy that's not yours, and let's spread it out to about 3 feet all the way around you. Do it. It's coming down straight into your head, and then it's also spreading out like a balloon, about 3 feet all the way around you, and just this energy, this beautiful golden, white, violet, whatever color is healing for you, moving through and just clearing out all the energy and letting it wash down through the bottoms of your feet and around you into the bottoms of the, around your feet, down into the earth. Mother Earth will transform all of that energy. And I want you to imagine, or I invite you to imagine yourself in a beautiful place that feels very comfortable for you. It's beautiful, it's comfortable, you feel very safe there. And imagine that you're walking along a path in that place. And up ahead you see your little girl. You know, walk towards your little girl, and she's waiting and she's all excited to see you. Just notice how she is with you. And I want you guys to get comfortable and to I want you to sit down on the ground. I want you to have your child sit on your lap, like straddling you. And I want you to be, you know, playing with her hair. I want you to imagine rubbing her hair, playing with it, looking in her eyes and just talking to her. And just like, get with her and tell her how happy you are to see her, and you know, tell her what you see of her. You know, validate her. Let her be seen. This is what she's been wanting. She's been wanting to be seen, and you know, if she's sensitive, just I see how sensitive you are and how beautiful that is, and how that has served us. And how beautiful and unique and brilliant. You know, how brilliant were we as children to come up with all of the ways and all of the conditions and put all these formulas and structures and systems together that don't make any sense to us as an adult, but made such sense to them, and it helped them survive. How creative and resourceful and resilient is she? And how lovable are they? Yeah. And I want you to share with them and just keep, again, keep, you know, rubbing their face or their hair, looking in their eyes. And let them do, they might stand up in your lap and start playing with your hair or kissing you or something. But just, you know, it's like give your child what she needs right now. Give her hugs and loves and whatever she, you know, what is wanting to hear. And I want you to share with her that you are there for her. You are, you know, she doesn't have to worry about being safe anymore. You, as the adult, are going to take care of her. That she is safe. You will make sure that she is safe. You'll make sure she's healthy, that she's taken care of, that she's loved, that she's seen, that she gets attention, that she has time to play, that she can be intuitive and creative. She can have fun. She can be powerful. A lot of times our child is the responsible do-do-doer, the masculine, you know, comes in as the, like, let's get it done out of fear, you know, not in supporting the, our feminine, for the women I'm talking to here. So it can be like, that's your, like the slave driver. She just feels she's got to be on 24/7 in order to make herself feel safe, in order to take things, care of things. I want you to, like, tell her she can relax. You're going to take care of things now. You're responsible. She's okay. You're going to work it out together. She gets to have some fun. And ask her what she wants. What she wants to do. How does she want you to interact? Is there something you want to do every day? Or, you know, what does she want to do today? And then I want you guys to go do that today. How does she want to play? She wants to nap, take a nap. She wants ice cream, go get ice cream. Because you're going to have to create this relationship that you're there for her. You're there to take care of her. You're the adult now. It's part of the reframing here. She's been intuitively also guiding you. You know, she's the one that's searching for, you know, she's constantly searching to where is it safe, where does it feel good, where are we comfortable. And comfortable isn't always to your advantage. Comfortable just might mean that you know it. You know, you might know abuse, and so abuse is more comfortable to you than somebody loving you up for no reason at all, giving you kudos and, you know, taking care of you. That might not be comfortable to you if you're used to being abused and doing everything on your own and not having any needs, saying you have a vow, I don't have needs, I'll take care of myself, thank you. But what you're really wanting, that little girl's always really wanted, was somebody to take care of her and meet her needs and love her. But you put up a wall. So I just want you to know, comfortable is not always the place for you to be. In fact, most of the time it's like getting uncomfortable now because you really are having to transform those mindsets and look at the world in a whole new way. Look in the world as, you know, as it is safe. People are safe. Majority of people are safe. Even though there's stuff happening around and you will validate and your ego will come up with every single way, see, it's not safe. People are killing each other. People are, you know, you don't need to go there. In this moment, right now, in your life, and if you're not safe, then your job is to get you into a safe place by being present in the moment and taking advantage of what is available to you in that moment and taking that risk and going and asking for support and helping get your needs met. But your job is to live your purpose, is to be seen and heard, is to share your uniqueness, your gifts out in the world. what you're here for. You're not here to hide. You're not here to show up as somebody else, what you think somebody else wants you to be. It's your job to be you. So now I want you to take this little girl, and you can have this conversation anytime with her, and have it every day. Every day, pay attention to that little girl. So I want you to turn her around on your lap so she's sitting and facing in the same direction as you are. And I want you to, like, hug her into you. So it's like she's come heart to heart because she's coming back into your body. Ah. And I want you, again, now you can have a conversation with her inside of you all the time like this. Like, what do you want to do? And I want you to follow up and do what she said she needed today. Because that's your first step in starting to honor yourself. And you got to do it. There's no other reason. There's not a reason not to. And that will actually, as you start to do this work, you, the real you, will start to bubble up more. As you start to clear away all of these beliefs and vows and that are in your way, that are clouding, that are, filtering out what is really available to you, then your life will change. And this is what I'm here for. So hope you come back again and listen to the next show. And also, when you sign, if you haven't already signed up, I put on the first three shows because they're like foundation work of what I do and helping you make this transition. And listen to this multiple times, get different things out of it. Start talking to friends about this. The more you can immerse yourself in it, the better. And if you're ready to do any work, then want to talk to me, I do a free discovery session, and you can reach me at 805-883-8598. So go out, have a fabulous day, live that juicy life, be happy and prosperous, and know that is your right, your worth. Oh my God, so much more than you can ever imagine. And it's your job to just keep imagining it and keep manifesting it step by step. So take care and have a fabulous week. I'll see you next Tuesday. Any questions, feel free to connect with me on Facebook. Coach Marilyn, or you can also reach me at coachmarilyn1@gmail.com. Take care, everybody. Bye.